Hey guys, welcome back to Big Mood.
Hello.
This week, the mood is being single. Is that good or is that bad? Or how do you feel being single?
Like finding happiness when you're single.
Can you be happy as a single person? I don't know.
Yes. Jess, you're happy.
Yes, you can you be
Jess.
Happy as a single woman?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm kidding.
I think what we kind of wanted to dive into in this episode and like, I feel like in my relationships when I was in my 20s, it was like...
Are you still in your 20s?
Early 20s.
Okay.
I mean. Yeah, like interjecting...
she's at the cusp now.
Yeah, like interjecting... I feel like my old environment taught me I had to be in a relationship. So in my early 20s, it was like, I cannot be single. I must be in a relationship. I must be in love. The concept of being single or happy wasn't even on my radar. Mm-hmm. So I...
Same girl.
Yeah, I'm in a happy relationship now, but I'm wondering, you know, what would I have done differently to enjoy being single?
Same.
Well, being single, for me, I think... The reason why I keep finding myself single and I'm 32, almost 33 and not married is because I haven't made the personal progress that I need to make with myself personally, I think. So I think it's very important to be single and to make personal progress and get to know yourself, because if you've been monogamous your entire life, you never really know who you are. If you've never even spent 3 months or 6 months or something without someone else's influence on your life. So I think I keep getting in these relationships, they kind of don't go well, but then that single period is really necessary for me because I think I get into codependent relationships.
Yeah.
So I'm single again because, oh wait, that was codependent, that wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. So now I have to be single again and like figure out how to be happy or like figure out who I am. So that part of being single is like a necessary thing, I think.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a relationship with yourself and fall in love with yourself before you can be ready for someone else.
And for me too, I feel like that single and happy moment was when I really found my passion. And a lot of people are really scared to be alone.
Yeah.
Like they're scared to be with themselves. I never had a problem being alone, but I really didn't have that happiness in a passion when I was alone until I was single, like from in my 25, 26 area of my life. And that was a life changer for me, especially a game changer in relationships moving forward, which was then to Steve was the next relationship in that forever. But yeah, it was fine. Like I started doing a lot more stand up again, getting back into like my own craft and like having fun on my own, and then, you know, really not worrying about getting into a relationship unless that person really enhanced my life.
Yeah, for me, I've been in a relationship since I was 16. I've only had 2 months of being single, and I'm now 30. So I have
never really got
being
to be on
single,
your own,
like
ever.
Back to back to back.
Yeah, it literally 1 month between each relationship since I was 16. So it was like Isaac's dad, 1 month of being single, and then the next guy, 1 month of being single,
and
then
doing
Casey.
During those months, you had your child.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
Weren't alone.
I have never been alone until ever.
Huh?
Do you ever. Like, I know you obviously you're not going to change it now, but do you regret that? Like, do you feel
for
like
for a long time? Yeah. I had this sense of regret, and I was guilty for feeling the sense of regret because I end up feeling guilty because I'm like, well, every time I would think that, I'm like, well, at this point in my life, I'm glad things happened because now I have Isaac and now I have whatever. And like, I'll end up like being okay with my current life, but then I can't help but think back and like regret not
it's
having
like
that alone time.
Your regret, you feel like your regret makes you not grateful for the things
exactly.
that you have, but really it's just a... this what if that's
yeah
just
it's
burned.
Completely separated
yeah.
And I feel guilty and I don't give myself that like it's okay
gentleness
it's separated, it doesn't have to be together. Yeah, I struggled with that for many years, and especially after having Isaac so young, because I was 18 when he was born.
Wow.
And then so like in my early 20s, like when everyone started turning 21, like all my friends and everyone's going out and like
I can't
partying.
Imagine missing that.
Yeah, it was really hard because I'm like, fuck, like I love my son so much. I'm so happy he's in my life, but it is really fucking hard right now just being a single mom, like in that time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, layering on the FOMO of like, now I can't experience what all my peers are experiencing. And it was rough. So I have never really given myself until recently, like this past year, actually, like 2019 was a year of me discovering myself and having a relationship with myself while I'm in a marriage. So
that's why I like that you went on that trip by yourself. And I know a lot of people might be like, oh, that's weird. Or, oh, she wants out of her marriage. Like, who would take a vacation by themselves? It's like,
that's literally
you never got, you never got the chance to spend time alone without the influence.
That's like.
So that was really important for
me. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if once someone wants to take a vacation on their own, I think it's fine.
I think that part of self-discovery is necessary in order to be able to give to others to your full potential, because you don't really know how much you have to give until you like spend that time with yourself.
I think the thing I'm doing now is like, I ask myself, I'm like, am I happy right now? And I'm like, I think generally I am. Excuse me. There's still a lot of things that I'm trying to figure out, like who I am and what I want to be and what I want my life to look like. But I think chasing happiness is really not the point. It's really like
content.
You've got to, it's not even about that either. I think it's like, you just have to do things to progress your life forward and rely on yourself to be like, oh, I don't have a husband or something, but my life's still progressing. I'm still,
as long as you're better,
I'm still moving forward in my career. I'm still like gaining skills. I'm still working on things. Like I don't have to worry so much about, oh, is this happiness? But this is still progression. And that's just the part of life where I'm in now. It's like, I'm not thinking about if I'm happy or not. Some days I am. Some days I'm elated. I skipped down the street the other day and I was like, wow, I'm happy. And then the next day I drank a bunch of tequila by myself at home and I cried. But I think that's a part of like me processing all these emotions that I was previously covering up by just always having someone next to me.
To distract you,
And then like when things are going wrong, you're like, well, it's this person's fault, you know? Like you can kind of channel that into, and not saying you necessarily blame them. You genuinely believe that that is the cause of your pain. And then when there's nothing else to cause the pain, like all you can do is focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes that hurts even more.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can really see like what was caused by you and not by the other person when you're alone. So because now I'll drink alone sometimes and cry, but I know it has nothing to do with Steve. Like it's my own shit, because I've been alone in that position before, and I know the difference between when a relationship is not doing well and it's making me have those emotions, and when I'm just having those emotions because of my own thing.
Bro, I drink alone and I have a fucking blast. If you've never gotten drunk at home by yourself and just dove into YouTube and listened to old nostalgic songs, and like, I have the fucking time of my life.
Yeah.
Or I'll get on Overwatch and voice chat and I'll just be like, what's up, you cuckolds? Dude, if I get drunk by myself at home, I have the best time. Like,
Drunk and gaming is so fun.
Just talking to people and meeting people. For me, because I'm a child of the internet, going online and like talking to people while drunk is no different than going to the club. It sounds ridiculous, but like,
I get that.
It really is. Like,
I feel like your relationship is kind of set up to where you almost have like 50-50, like, because you guys haven't moved in together, so you still have a lot of days where you're kind of almost living single, but then you actually still have this relationship at the end of the week. Like, you spend weekends together and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So how does that feel? Is that what you expected to be in a relationship? Or
no? And it's like, I spent so much of the time in my early 20s, like, I need a relationship. I need it. And then I got it. And I got into a relationship with someone that we both value each other's independence. Like, I am violently independent. I've never been like a codependent person at all. I'm never bored. I'm always busy. Same. I'm always like, occupied.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm always bored and very codependent.
I never have a longing for people, because if I want to hang out with somebody, I just go out there and do it. I think while we were talking, I was really digging into myself and trying to figure out, if I wasn't in this relationship, what would I be doing differently? And I think the only thing I would do differently is I'd be hanging out with more of my guy friends. There are certain guys that my boyfriend doesn't know, or maybe we had a history together and I just don't think it's appropriate to see them.
Yeah.
So I put those barriers up in the relationship, but otherwise there's nothing.
Your life is already kind of like, it's the same.
Yeah. He's very, very busy. I'm very, very busy, and he's building up a future for us and I'm building up a future for us. And even sometimes we see each other developing skill sets that we know are going to help us and help our relationship. And like, we intend to grow a business together in the future. And I love that. I love that so much. And
you guys
now that
growing together.
Now that I have that thing that I thought that I needed, the relationship, I kind of was able to get that out of my vision and just focus on myself while being in a relationship. And it's like I had this person that would just catch me if I fell. And I just never really fell. I mean, like, I definitely, like, when the whole Defy thing happened and I lost my job, you know, he was there. But the funny thing is he wasn't doting. He almost didn't really know what to do. But he was just like, if you need me, I'm here. And I figured it out myself. But I did still have that strong backbone that I needed. I never got like scared or sad. Mm-hmm. If he and I were to break up tomorrow, emotionally, I'd be very upset because I love him very, very much. He is my partner in crime. When we get together, it's like we recharge our batteries together and we just sync up, you know, it's mm-hmm. like I have my other half. But when we split up, we're still whole almost.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I feel. And that's, I think, something that comes from you really knowing yourself and like being alone a lot by yourself. I think the one time I actually missed living alone, like when I was with Steve, was when we both were working from home. Because when we first got together, he was still working at Maker. And so he would be gone, even though we were living together, he'd be gone the majority of the day. And I felt like, you know, I had the space to myself. And I'm also just so super independent. I like getting in my own zone. I don't like just someone being there because it kind of interrupts my flow of consciousness. And I remember like when we started both working from home after he left working at Maker, we were in a 2-bedroom apartment that was one level, and I could hear him cough. Like I could hear everything that was going on there. And it made me feel just like crowded. And even though he didn't interrupt, like he's independent too, he didn't interrupt me working, just him being there made me feel like I couldn't express myself to the full extent. Like I couldn't just like cry without him hearing me and wanting to be like, how can I make it better? Or like sometimes we'd get into little tiffs because he would come in and say good morning, and you know, super nice thing to say, but if I'm already in a mood and I'm like in this mode, I just like to deal with it without having to cater to someone's feelings first. And it would be like we really had to learn how to communicate through that, because it was like I didn't want to snap at him for him saying good morning. That's like, I realized that that's a bitch thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I would try to like good morning, like while I'm like holding back all of my anger that I'm feeling towards this other thing.
And how long have you guys been dating at the point when you started?
We moved in 3 months after
that's
dating.
Okay. That was really, really fast. Really too fast.
We knew each other 6 months.
Yeah.
Fast. And with a kid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a lot. Yeah, that's like crazy. Really soon. We had known each other for almost 4 years. It was 3.5 years. And I also knew I was in love with the guy. Like I wanted to spend forever with him.
But you had the feelings that you wanted to move in, even though you knew that about yourself, that you liked your own space, or you didn't realize until after you moved in, and you're like, oh, I kind of wish I
had
my own
space. Felt like since he was gone so much of the day, it felt like that the timing really worked out, because by the time he'd come home, I was already ready. I'm like, I already got my stuff done, so I'm ready to like spend time with you. But when he started spending all day at home too, that's when it got really tough. Yeah. But now we live in a two-level place.
Yeah.
And the setup's kind of weird, where his office is on the first floor, way in the back on a separate place where he's not even below me.
Yeah.
He's like to the side and
it,
on
it
the
feels like
ground
a separate
level.
Apartment.
You guys are
completely
like different levels
apartment.
And then diagonal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the kitchen is the only place that we would meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And so he can't hear me. I can't hear him. We have to call each other if we want to communicate. I also decorated the entire top level to what I would decorate if mm-hmm. I lived alone. And it does feel very much like this is my space. That is his space.
Yeah.
And when we're ready to spend time with each other, the living room is like a mutual, like that's our space as a couple, as a personal area. And that's been working out really well, just like perfectly.
Dude, I cannot see myself living with anyone for a long time, because of my last relationship. We were living together for 4 years, and now that I have my own apartment, like that's probably one of the best things about me being single right now is the way that I have my little apartment set up. I got to decorate it.
Yeah,
I decorated
cute.
My own balcony.
Yeah.
I like put this faux wood flooring on my balcony. Mm-hmm.
And you have your little rituals, yeah, and no one bothers you.
Exactly.
Your rituals.
Jess's apartment, I feel like it's an oasis. I'm like, when are you going to get rid of the dogs and let me move in? She can literally see the sunset from her balcony.
My view is amazing. Yeah. And I don't have anyone else's energy in there. I don't have their shit all over the place. Like, I always pick up my cups. I always, so that's probably one of the best things is I do want to date someone, but I don't want them in my space. And I envision a future where it's like, oh, we'll have a house together. And I do look forward to that. But right now, I cannot imagine living with someone else.
It was so funny because with my ex, we were living together. And then there was the lease was over. So then we wanted to get out of that place. So I ended up getting my own place. But I was like, you can't live with me. We can still be together, I guess, but you're not living with me.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting my own apartment and he would come and visit and spend the nights and stuff. And but I'm like, we can't live together. And that's the guy that I ended up getting engaged with before Casey. So I'm like, if we get married, you need to have your own house and I'll be in my own house. And that's obviously it wasn't going to fucking work out.
Yeah.
But I guess we were both too stubborn to end it or whatever. But yeah, I it's a really interesting situation. And that time, even though I was technically in a relationship, I got to experience kind of living alone, even though I had Isaac. And that was awesome. So
yeah,
I'm so jealous of you.
Do you know what I like to do when I'm by myself? It's like you can feel the ad coming now.
You gonna have to eat that food on a what?
On a table. I was gonna say bed.
That's actually where I own too.
Oh, you one of them nasty girls.
When I was talking about decorating the top floor of our condo, I actually redid the entire master bedroom and I used a bed from Article.
I love
and
your bed.
Thank you. I'm absolutely in love with Article's furniture. It's this mid-century modern / Scandinavian touches design.
Super in.
Completely my style. The whole bedroom got remodeled to be this mid-century boho Scandi type of style.
I love it.
And I'm in love with it. It's a walnut bed and it's the sturdiest piece of furniture I have ever owned in my life. I never knew a bed could be like that.
And you save up to 30% on traditional retail prices. And when I first moved into my place, I was getting cheap furniture because I was like, I need a coffee table. I need a chair.
Yeah.
And then it kind of started to, it was a little daunting.
It gets wobbly.
You can definitely feel the difference.
And then when I upgraded to an Article bed, I upgraded my quality of life. That was my favorite part about it. I feel
start to feel like an adult.
Yeah, I felt like an adult. I'm getting older. Get rid of that bachelor furniture. You want to impress her? You better make sure that bed ain't gonna break.
Yeah, they're actually able to keep their prices low by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. So there's no showrooms, no salespeople, no retail markups.
Nikki, how do I get it?
You also have 30 days to make up your mind with simple returns and exchanges. Article is offering our listeners $50 off their first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/bigmood and the discount code will be automatically applied at checkout. Ooh. That's article.com/bigmood to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
I'm doing it. I just got a house. I need to furnish it. I'm doing it.
$50 is a lot.
$50
That's a lot of moolah.
But yeah, so I remember that 1 month after that guy that I just talked about where I was like, you live somewhere else and I live somewhere else. I had my girlfriends over all the time, every weekend, 4 weekends in a row. And we would throw parties and stuff because they even slept over one time, immediately after the breakup. Because first of all, this guy would not let me go and he was stalking my house and it got a little scary. That's one reason. The other reason was because I was like, girls, I don't know how to be alone. Can you please, Isaac's going to be spending the weekend at his dad's. I don't know how to be by myself. So
I don't think that helped you because
it didn't, but they were trying to be nice.
It was a crutch.
Also, I really begged. I'm like, please don't let me sleep alone.
I'm gonna tell you girls, you young girls, you have to spend those nights alone. Yeah. You have to get through it or otherwise you're just gonna always be chasing having someone.
It's like
with
the baby
you.
In the crib screaming. You gotta let them scream.
You have to let them scream, otherwise they're never gonna sleep through the night.
You know what I found helped me through that? Because when I first moved to LA, it was with my boyfriend at the time. And we were together for 3 more years after that. So lived with him for 3 years, my first 3 years in LA. Then when we broke up is when I got my own apartment. And the first night I had one of my best friends from Santa Barbara spend the night with me because I was scared because I hadn't spent a night alone in yeah. ever because I was living with my parents and then I was living with him. And I was thankful she was there because there was like this crackhead that it ended up being a funniest story, but this meth head climbed the palm trees outside of my window.
And he was like, Nikki Limo from Tipsy Bartender.
He pointed at us. He was like, you're the devil. And then he tried to get to our window, but like there was like the palm tree was far enough away from the window. Yeah. He couldn't get there, but I was,
he jumped.
We were cracking up
that
and we were like
my college experience at Texas State. A lot of people on drugs.
We were giggling. It was fun. But after that night, I was fine without someone there. And what I found really helped me like get comfortable being alone was making little details that made it a home. And that's what I think I really got into nesting and making my environment a home and not just like somewhere I live. Mm. So the first thing I did was I bought a bunch of drawer liners that were cute, like vintage looking drawer liners. Yeah. And I lined all the drawers that were built into this like old timey unit. It was like from the silent film era. Yeah. So there was like built in dressers and I didn't want them to be all nasty. So I put those drawer liners and they were like cute and floral. And then I went and bought a bunch of towels from Bed Bath & Beyond. It was like brand new. And it just little things that made your parents' house feel like home. Yeah. You can do that.
That's exactly
in
what
your home.
I've been doing.
Yeah.
I did not realize how important, like you call it nesting.
Yeah.
Is. You know, even when I was younger and I had my own room in my parents' house, it didn't even feel like my room. Yep. It felt like a room in my parents' house. Yep. I feel like that's almost a skill, making a place your own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I first got to LA, I lived in a very small apartment. And then when I moved to my one bedroom, I have this huge one bedroom. And it's a nice size. It's pretty nice for like a single person. And I didn't want to decorate it because I was afraid that at any point, like Smosh would go under and I would lose my job and I'd have to go back to Virginia. Mm. I didn't want to have to deal with putting furniture in storage or
selling it,
moving back. Or I was like, I'll have to get a roommate. So I never decorated. I just had a couch, a TV, and a gaming computer because I was like, at any moment, this life will be over. Mm. And so just last month was the first time I got a bookshelf. I decorated my vanity.
Oh my God.
I got like a little shoe rack, like all of this stuff because I was like, I'm ready to make this a home. And I haven't even put wall art up and stuff. And this is the first time that I'm like, this is my place.
Yeah.
You know, you have to mark your independence somewhere.
Yeah.
And doing it in your home is incredibly important because where else do you mark your independence?
Yeah.
Like almost nowhere.
Yeah.
Truly. Like, I mean, other than maybe like your body, like if you're a person that gets a lot of tattoos, but I don't know how else you mark your own territory because otherwise you're just a piece of the world. And if you are a person, kind of what I'm hearing is like, it seems like Nikki and I are like very, very independent and like you guys have some codependent tendencies. And I think that's a personality type that you can kind of break the mold out of.
Yeah.
But when you're codependent, it's scary to try to become independent. You're just like, I can't do this. A lot of times people just fold and say, this is not possible. But it really is.
Yeah.
I think I'm like a blend because like there were moments too where like during that time I had planned like, okay, this New Year's Eve, it's always been my dream. I'm going to see the ball drop in Times Square. Like I set that goal up for myself and that was 2012 going into 2013. And I was like, no matter what, I'm going. And those girlfriends, they were like, yeah, we'll all go. We'll make it a girls trip. And then it eventually one by one started like dropping out. And then by then, Casey and I started dating. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to New York. Like, well, the last girl just dropped out. I don't give a fuck. I'm going. I'm going by myself. Like, I have to do this. I have to make this happen. And he was like, well, I don't want you going alone. Like, it's scary. So then he ended up coming with me. But I really had
that
fire in me where I'm like, no matter what, I'm doing this, even if I have to do it alone. But I didn't end up doing it alone. But
yeah,
I want to believe that codependency is a learned or like an environmental
mechanism. It's something you can break.
It's definitely, I mean, it usually comes from like you feel like feelings of abandonment in your childhood. So it's definitely learned behavior.
You can break it with therapy. Because I was always independent, I never felt like I was codependent. But then I got into a toxic relationship where it brought a codependent side out of me to a point where I didn't even recognize myself anymore. Wow. It was a kind of abusive relationship and it was, I kind of got in two at the same time where like it was first I got in an abusive business relationship with this manager guy. And then I started dating someone who was the same level of narcissism that creates codependency or that codependent people are attracted to. And so it just weakened me to this point of like, I don't even know that girl. I was only that girl for 2 years of my life. I was never that girl before. I don't know how that happened, but through therapy, I broke out of it again and became myself, like who I've always been.
Once you understand like where it comes from or like why it's happening, it's not like static. It's not like forever you're going to be codependent. I think
it's just figuring out things that you love to do by yourself and just doing them.
That's what I'm doing. Because I'm the only one single right now.
But you love, like, you do tennis.
That's like a partner thing.
Well, you have a coach. Yeah. So and your coach is.
Well,
really
I had.
Like
yeah, her. I don't do that anymore. But I did have a coach for a little while. I was really enjoying that. But like I've been spending time reading, and that's something that I haven't been able to do for so long. Like when I was younger, I was a huge book reader. I was constantly reading, and then there was this span of time in my. Pretty much throughout most of my 20s where I could not focus on a book. I had really high anxiety. There was just always something where I couldn't get myself to read a fucking book. Like, just read a book. And now I've been doing that. I've been taking notes while I'm reading books. It's like, I'm not in school anymore. I don't need this. But I'm like reading these books on like economics and society and philosophy and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's a vocabulary word I don't know. I fucking write that shit out in a little journal, and I write out what the definition of it is. And I'm just spending time with myself. Like, oh, I feel like building my intellect. And like, if I was in my last relationship, I wouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. I would be staying in the same place I was mentally, doing the same things I was mentally on his time. But now, and the same goes for him, like whatever he's spending his time on now, like he's building his intellect. He's not worried about what do I need to do to make sure she eats dinner tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like we're able to like actually really grow ourselves, and that's something we both really needed.
And when you're like reading and taking notes and everything, how does that make you feel?
It feels really good. Like I'm not thinking about all the bullshit in life. Like I'm literally just focused on, oh, this is a new concept. This is a new thing that I never even thought of. I discovered this, this Italian kind of like, I don't know what you would call it. I guess it's sort of a concept, and it's just like it's called a like sprezzatura or something like that. And it's talking about like it's in fashion, but also just in life. It's about putting forth a whole bunch of effort, thinking about things a lot and doing your best at it, but not showing it. So it's like effortless elegance. And I'm like, I love this idea of like sprezzatura or whatever. And I'm just like thinking about it. I'm like, ooh, and I'm like looking up shit. And I'm like, oh, there's like men's fashion that has to do with that. But that's also like a thing in life. So like you try your hardest at work. Nobody knows that you spent time, extra time to turn in this project. But it just looks like you're effortlessly smart.
Yeah.
And not complaining about it, not showing that you put so much effort into it, but it's just like, oh, I'm doing everything nicely. And I'm like, I love this concept.
What I love the most about that is that, to me, that's a form of happiness that can never be taken away from you.
Yeah.
That it literally cannot. You know, in a relationship, you feel this peak of happiness, but it comes and goes depending on how that person feels about you, if they're having a bad day, if there's someone else that's caught their eye, and then suddenly your happiness is gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's external. Now, while reading a book is technically some form of external, but that happiness is coming from within.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a huge component of being happy when you're single, is manifesting that happiness on your own rather than with a person.
Or understanding that it's basically all coming, like this thing, I don't know how to fully describe this, but I'm gonna try to. So something that I've been feeling a lot lately is that, so maybe I had a crush for like a little while, and it like made me really happy for a little while, but then that crush went away. But then what I realized was like, I created that feeling of happiness, and I created that fantasy, and I created all these good feelings that I felt for him. So even if that didn't work out, or if it doesn't work out, like really all of the things that you're creating are in your own head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even like if that another Jhené Aiko song lyric with she goes like, you weren't special
but I made you. Yeah, yeah, so it's kind of like, even if you loved someone and they left, it's like all of the happiness that you were feeling, that was inside of you and created by you anyway. Mm-hmm. So just because they're gone, that doesn't mean that happiness is not there. It wasn't even really them. It was like you created that.
Last year, I had that epiphany too, but it was a little bit tweaked. So it was more like in my marriage, where there were all these little things that just like irked me. I'm like, why does he have to do this one thing or whatever? And then it kind of like a light bulb turned on in my head.
It's
where,
you that's getting annoyed.
Yeah, where I'm like, wait. It doesn't have to be like, for example, it was like taking out the trash. It's a stupid example, but let's just say that. I'm like, why didn't he take out the trash? Like, he said he was going to do it, whatever. I just got up and I did it myself, and I'm like, cool, now I don't have to be pissed about this thing, and now I'm happy. Like, this is so stupid. Like, I could have been happy and, like, created that myself, or, like, done it myself and not place all that weight on someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the epiphany moment for me, that I was like, this is huge. And I told him, and he got so happy.
He's like, yes, stop bitching at every little thing that I do.
He's like, stop nagging, bitch.
There's so many times that we, and I'm not saying this every single time, but a lot of times where we could control our emotions, but we don't. You know, to an extent, we almost choose to. And it feels
it's not
like
even
it's
controlling. It's just like letting it go.
Letting it go, or taking the situation into our own hands, or, you know, deciding to take the high ground.
Or separating from how much you're focusing on something that's not even real.
And then there's been so many times where I get upset or angry over something because I'm bored and I don't have anything else to worry about.
Yeah.
You know? And I say that lightly because there are some times where something just environmentally, it's just completely out of your control. But then there's also times where there's situations that are out of your control, but you choose to shoot the second arrow into yourself and poison your mind with worry afterwards. And that's something that I had something that really bothered me a few weeks ago. And I walked out of my apartment and I'm thinking about it. And I was like, whoa, Bo, stop. And I told myself, don't shoot the second arrow, which was, don't take this thing. It's almost like, I remember one time we talked about this, Tiff. It's like these bullets come at you and you have to stop them and decide not to take that bullet. Like, you have to dodge it. Like, the bullets have already been fired. It's happened. And whether it's a situation in your life, whether it's losing somebody, a breakup, unkind words, something that's said, and then you don't have
to
take
single.
That. You don't have to take that bullet. You just dodge it and walk away from it. It happened. It was fired. It was shot. But you don't have to be affected by it. And that's kind of something that I let walk with me all the time. And this day where I walked out of my house and I was so stressed out, I kept telling myself, don't shoot the second arrow. Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't let it poison your day. And within 5 minutes, I had completely forgotten. I chose not to feel that emotion, and I completely forgot about it. And I was like, I can't wait for something to happen again. I was like, I'm gonna handle this shit.
You got the power now.
Yeah. Like, and it's like choosing not to let someone or something take your happiness or your independence away from you, and just moving on with your day. Like, if you can.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing that gets to people that I think you brought up the opposite of it, which is like finding an activity or something that you do just for yourself that like no one has to know that you put in that extra effort.
Yeah.
Or like it's just something that you feel fulfilled by and no one else has to know about. I think on the other end of the spectrum of that, people are getting really depressed when they start comparing themselves to other people, like, because we are in such a culture that shares every little thing that we're doing. Like sometimes you can be alone and single and like you suddenly start to see all of the happy couples where like before.
That reminds me, I wrote on Instagram, so like I posted for Valentine's Day and like I posted something about like me and Casey, but then at the end I said like, love is such a beautiful thing to celebrate, so even if you have no one to celebrate with, like, just celebrate self-love, like that's important too. And then there were people like sending me messages saying like, oh, that really hit me, like, thank you, I really needed to hear that. And like, as just, and then like people were venting and just saying like, you know, seeing all these couples like on Valentine's Day is really hard for me, but you reminded me that it's important to also just love me and not me to depend on someone else. So I'm like, that's so true.
That's definitely like the same concept of like, it's like when you think of a color, like there's that exercise where it's like, think of the color green, and then all of a sudden everything you see around you, just the green things pop out more. So when you're thinking about your lack of like happiness in a relationship, and you just start seeing like happy couples everywhere, and then you get really sad about it, or you think that thing is missing, rather than that like that thing would just enhance when you're ready, or that's just not in your timeline right now. I thought it was interesting too when I talk about my relationship with Steve, and I think we have a great relationship and I am so grateful for it, but it's not something that I think about all the time. It's just when we're talking about relationships, I'll talk about it, because I've definitely been in unhealthy relationships and I've been in this one. I don't think about it as like this. I never thought of it as this thing that I really needed, so it doesn't really cross my mind until someone says something like, why do you have to talk about your relationship all the time? Or like, why do you, like, why, you know, when there's like a comment like that, I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about that. But that person is in a place where they don't have that, and so they're just seeing that.
It's like glaring.
Yeah, where I've had that before career-wise, where I see people like just killing it, crushing it in their career.
Why do you have to talk about your sitcom so much?
Yeah, where they're just booking, it just seems like they're booking thing after thing after thing, and I just started getting mad at them. Like, I just started getting frustrated. Like, why do they always have to be posting about their shows that they booked? Because I was mad that I didn't have that. Like, I wasn't booking shows. I was trying my ass off to book shows and I wasn't booking, and it was more a reflection on how I felt about myself. It was like this giant mirror, and it made me more and more unhappy until I realized that, like, wait, them booking shows doesn't mean that I have to feel bad about my own lack of it, you know? And that changed everything. Once I started seeing it through that prism, when people would post about their successes, I was happy for them and genuinely happy for them, not just like, okay, cool, happy for you, so happy for you, bitch, you know? Yeah. It was like a genuine, like, yeah, you can do it, and I'll get there too when the time's right, you know? Mm-hmm. And after that, I was booking more.
Social media can definitely be tough, like, when you're single.
Yeah.
But it's funny, too, because, like, I'll go back and I'll look at pictures that I posted where I was like, oh, wait, we fought through that dinner. And I'm, like, posting that dinner photo. Like, it looks all cute. And then I'm like,
that was a trend that was happening where people, especially girls, I think we talked about it during JK News, where girls were going back to their old Instagram posts and like recaptioning,
like, oh, we actually fought. Yeah. Like, he wasn't paying attention to me. He was on his phone half the time. Right. Like, I guess I wasn't dressed good enough to like catch his attention.
Yeah, yes. So you probably should have tried Stitch Fix.
These ads are so funny. How would you describe your style in one word? Would it be
bad?
Simple?
Oh.
I like the word simple.
Simple.
Simple's basic. A good word. What about sophisticated?
Oh, I would love that. What about I don't know where to start.
What about adventurous?
Are you a Carrie? Ooh. Are you a Miranda? Mm. Are you a Charlotte?
Ooh, I want to be a Charlotte. That sounds classy.
Classy.
Well, maybe you can get some help. When it comes to shopping for clothes, most of us are amateurs. I know I'm a bit of an amateur when it comes to shopping.
You're a Samantha.
Why not let the professionals handle it? With Stitch Fix, a stylist will do all the work for you. They're an online personal styling service that will deliver your favorite clothes, shoes, and accessories directly to your door. After completing your style profile, your personal stylist will send a hand-picked box of items based on your style and preferences. With no subscription required, you can pick between automatic shipments or only getting new pieces on demand, so you're not going to get trapped in a constant thing if you don't want to. The styling fee is only $20, and it will be applied towards anything you keep from your box. Nice. Doesn't it sound pretty good, guys?
Sounds dope.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
To get started today at stitchfix.com/mood and get an extra 25% off when you keep everything in your box.
Ooh.
That's stitchfix.com/mood. One more time.
stitchfix.com/mood.
Your mouth.
stitchfix.com/mood.
Nice.
Oh, and also, not to mention the jewelry. I like the jewelry. I'm so bad at picking out jewelry. They give you really nice, kind of dainty stuff.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. I've kept all of my jewelry and all of my jeans.
Yep.
Nice.
They have really comfortable
Stitch
jeans.
Fix.
Well, with a great style, you can also bust out your phone from those new jeans and play a mobile puzzle.
Best
mobile
Fiends.
Puzzle app.
It rhymes.
Best Fiends. Yeah, with your jeans.
Yeah, phone out your jeans, playing Best Fiends.
Guys, you know I'm obsessed with this game.
Bro, she was playing this during lunch.
Yes.
Not stop talking about this.
Do you guys
want to
know what level I am now?
No.
799.
I'm going to get jealous.
Well,
there's 2,000 levels. Which one did you hit?
Oh, girl, I am on level 327. I'm in the towering treetops portion of the game. And besides the fact that they have really beautiful graphics, like, I really, really love this, they actually update the game every single month, and they have different events, so the game never gets
all
old.
Right, I'm talking smack, because I downloaded it, too.
I know, you were telling me you
I did. And it's actually really fun. You get to, in the first couple of levels, you get to beat up all the little slugs.
Yeah, the
and
slugs.
I just got back on it the other day because when they updated the game, yeah, the little logo changed.
It does.
And it caught my eye, and I was like, I guess I should play a little bit of Brett's feet.
Yeah.
I like getting new characters and the fact that you have to use them,
yeah,
to strategically
like get to the next part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little fiends, they all have their little special powers. It's really cool. So it does not require any internet. So I play this all the time when I'm flying, like traveling, especially on those really long flights. And sometimes the plane doesn't have internet. I bust out my best fiends game and I rack up those levels. So like I said, I really, really love it. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download
million.
Best Fiends free on the app, Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. And let me know what level you get on because I'm in competition with all you guys.
I'm
like
on
I said,
33.
I'm on
327.
33.
Yeah.
So Nikki brought up a really interesting point about, like, you know, feeling like you're missing something in a relationship. I think it's really important sometimes for people to not get consumed by that thing that they're missing. Like, yes, you may feel like, okay, I'm not in a relationship, but you're not in a love relationship with a partner. There's also family relationships. There's
True.
Friends.
Yeah.
There's career. There's, do you have like a pet or something? Like, yeah, do what goals
Spiritual.
Do you have?
Mental.
Spiritual. There,
yeah, there's
physical.
A lot of like, there's so much like
there's
pressure
so much
to just
more
to be in that one thing.
Yeah.
Now.
There's so much more to life than just relationships. And I think sometimes we get consumed by that one chunk of the puzzle we're missing. You know?
Well, it's the most...
Because you think that if you just had that piece, you'd be happy.
Yeah, yeah. And then you forget.
Yeah.
And then you get so lost in that you forget about all of the other pieces. And I think that when you're single, something to remind yourself, if you get caught up in the thought of like, oh, I'm single, I wish I was in love. What are you doing with your career? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with your friendships? Are you nourishing family? Are you setting goals for the future?
Mm-hmm.
How are you setting yourself up so that you're ready when that relationship
right.
does come? Because it could come in right now, but then what if you're like, okay, great, now I have the relationship. Now I'll work on my career.
Right.
Now I'll work on my friendships. Now I'll
it's
work
backwards.
On my home. Now
yeah.
I'll work on
yeah.
my finances. No, fill all of those voids before somebody comes into your life so that you can keep them.
They also say you get what you give. So instead of thinking like, how do I get?
Yeah.
Think about like, what can I give? Think of the thing you want and try to give it.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm going to be honest because this is something for myself. If you have nothing and you're looking for someone, you will attract somebody that also has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you will sit there and suck off just sucking each other
somewhere
off.
Somewhere out there, there's a guy that's like, I want to be sucked
yeah.
off.
I choose that. I have nothing and I can be sucked. But I mean that truly, because the other thing is if you have, you know, friendships and money, you're not only not going to attract somebody that doesn't kind of have those things in your life, but you're going to have more sight of mind, like peace of mind, or what's the word I'm looking for? More consciousness
yeah.
to be like, I don't need this person.
Yeah.
This person has nothing of value to add to my life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're just looking for the relationship, you'll kind of just take whatever comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
True, girl.
Yeah, and that is not fair.
Relationships, I feel like, are the most intoxicating and addicting part of our lives, I guess. So that's
mm-hmm.
why it's easy to get swept up in it. There's this video that I watched the other day, and everyone has their opinions on this guy, but it was Russell Brand video.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, because he's such a weirdo, but,
weird, but
I love
really
his
smart.
I love his mind. I like the way
yeah.
he's always thinking. So like, whether you agree with him or not is besides the point, because he's always thinking and I like that. But he was just talking about how when you make it's almost like that biblical saying of like worshiping a false idol. And so I think a lot of times we worship the person that we were with or that we want to have, or like maybe there's a guy that doesn't love you back or something, and we're worshiping them like a false idol, and that only can bring in suffering. So you have to really ground yourself, otherwise you're just going to perpetuate suffering. So even if you do get that relationship or you do get something, you're worshiping this false image of them. You think they're perfect, you think they're going to fill your life and make it whole. It's only going to wind up creating suffering. So you really have to ground yourself
yeah.
and understand what a purpose a relationship serves. That's what I'm going through right now, is like I always felt like I had to have someone, like the man
was my false idol, and whatever bullshit he fucking put me through, I just dealt with it because I couldn't be alone, and like I just went through so much suffering unnecessarily because I couldn't give up that addiction to having a man there, just any man.
I think it's also something that like society perpetuates, especially with quotes like "all you need is love." Bullshit.
Well, yeah, you do. Self love.
You need to love your career. You need to love your mom. You can love your significant other and your like. It's not just "I need a relationship." And so many movies and everything. That's the baseline of it. Like they don't show Sally going out and getting her job after she gets her man. Did Stella get a job after she got her groove back? I don't know. Does your fucking wood get that? But yeah, like there's so much more to it, and it's almost it's unhealthy. Look, this is why we're doing this show, because we're here to undo everything that society taught you.
Unfuck your brain.
Unfuck your brain.
It's a good book.
That's a book.
Oh, that is a book. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that was a book.
I was like, that was good.
I think it's called Unfuck Yourself.
No,
or no.
Or, oh, that one, that's a good book too.
Oh, what? Is this a series? Is this like Goosebumps?
Are we wrong?
Trolling Gary something. I have his audiobook. Whatever, it's not important.
Anyway.
Unfuck Yourself, it's called, I think.
Something like that. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's more Gary Vee, but Unfuck Your Brain.
No, not Gary Vee. Oh. It's a different Gary.
What?
He's like an Irish Scott. I don't know.
All right. You get the concept.
Look, you can Google it by that much information.
We're not sponsored by that book, so we're not promoting
it. I recommend it, though.
Cut that. They have to pay for that. I'm just kidding. You don't have to cut that. You don't have to. Dude, our producer, like, he looked like right up at us. By the way, everyone, our producer is 6'4".
And single.
Are you taking?
Single.
I thought you got a girlfriend, Bryce.
No.
Oh,
he's not taken. He is on the market.
He's 2 years ago? Wait, I was just telling him before this. He was adjusting a camera, and he was like leaned over, and then he stood all the way up, and I was like, Bryce, is your height?
He took up half the room.
Yeah, I was like,
and he's a handyman.
Yes, he just be fixing shit.
Remember when we were painting, and like we could only reach a certain height, and he just came along with
he came in and like,
yeah. This turned into a date Bryce
date
ad.
Our producer. My man stood up, and I was like, Bryce, is your height in your Tinder bio? I was like,
it's in the bio.
It's in the bio.
Linked putting his Tinder. In there.
We're gonna put his phone number as the top comment, so you ladies can text your news.
Dox him.
Yeah. Guys, send us a message on at Big Mood Girls on Instagram if you're interested in dating Bryce. We'll screen and review. Girls within 40 miles of Los Angeles County only.
We don't have girls anymore.
But love yourself first. Make sure you have that unlocked.
Yeah, he only wants girls
that have their shit together.
You're just trying to get married.
Yourself, you can't date our dad.
Our set dad.
Our set
you can't
dad.
Be our new mommy.
You can't. Absolutely not.
You can't be our new mommy.
Like Bryce just always brings his new girlfriend to set every day. And we're like, Bryce, this is getting
weird.
Are
you our new mommy? She's gone the next week. We are ruining his sex life.
Yeah.
He's single because of us.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But yeah, like I think that activities that you just do for you are the things that you learn, like self-esteem and like, oh, I can bring myself that love. And then when you go into a relationship, you're not looking to get that from someone else.
You know what that kind of reminds me of?
Give me my self-esteem.
I want one too.
Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
No,
your soul is mine.
That kind of reminds me of when I was in high school, which was the only time other than those 2 months in my life that I have been single. And I remember during that time...
The happiest 2 months of Tim's life. I just imagine everything. She's like, and then Casey walks up, excuse me, ma'am.
I'm in too deep, damn it.
Yeah. And Tim's like, okay.
No, he was the first one that was like... One that I actually really like.
She looks happy.
Yeah. Get down here with me, bitch.
No, but I wanted to talk about high school.
Sorry.
So in high school, I remember everyone around me being in relationships.
Yep.
And like, it was just really hard to be, especially in my particular high school. Everyone was having sex already. And I was like 16 and everyone was having sex. And I'm like, damn it, I'm a virgin. Let me get rid of this virginity so I could be like everyone
else. Oh, like it's a disease?
Else. Yeah. So then...
So much societal pressure.
Yeah, there was so much. And I remember also when my girlfriends, they would be in their relationships and they'd be fighting and I'd be like, oh, I want that.
You wanted the fighting?
Like, I want someone to like just be with, and like if it's going to be fighting, then okay. And so like I remember just really yearning for a relationship. And I don't know, if I could go back in time and talk to that 16-year-old Tiff, I would just tell her, hey, girl, it's okay. Yeah. Love yourself. Find yourself.
Find a guy that you kind of like so that you'll be like, we'll try this for 6 months and then I'm going to leave.
No, because, girl, I dove deep. I was just like, as soon as, like, first one, I'm like, cool.
You like me? Dude, I did too. I mean, like, I get it. If my first boyfriend, I mean, oh my God, incredibly abusive. I told you about that. That was the alarm clock guy. I wouldn't have left him. I would have never, ever left him. He broke up with me. My man did me a favor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, there, and another thing is, like, they might not always let you go. Like, it's hard to get out of a toxic relationship, too, once you're in it.
Really, it definitely hard. Is.
Especially when you know, you think you've wanted this for so long and you have a skewed perception of what love is. And I also thought that, like, arguing and fighting in relationships is indicative of, like, oh, this person cares enough about me to fight with me and yell about
what's going on.
Too. Yeah, and now I'm like, oh my God, no.
That's the complete opposite of the truth.
The complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're yelling at me, you don't actually care. You're just an asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up.
Yeah. Did you guys, were you guys constantly in relationships in high school?
I had a relationship, I think, like, my freshman year, and then I think I didn't until I left into college.
I didn't have my first boyfriend until I was 15, and then that was, like, for 2 years, which is, like, marriage in high school.
Yeah.
And then I was single for the second half of my senior year, and that's when that popular guy dated me, and, like, I didn't know how to act, and I was so self-conscious, and he ended up dumping me and telling me everything that was wrong with me.
Oh, I just remembered what I did that made me break the cycle of codependency. Mm. I totally forgot about this. Okay, so I've had periods where I'm not in a relationship, but I've always had a crush. Always. Never been a period of time where I didn't have a crush. And if I did, it was such a small fraction that it just didn't register.
So you're mentally, like, serial monogamous.
Yes, mentally. And they would always be big crushes. And I just either wouldn't pursue them or I would fuck it up and we didn't date. So I had a friend about 2 or 3 years ago that he went, and we weren't even that close at the time, but he was going through a breakup and we got, like, close during it because I just wanted to, like, help. I don't know. Like, I felt like I kind of knew that he just needed some feminine energy. So I just kind of, like, he lived with her. She was moving out. They had been together for, like, 4 years. And so in this kind of working with him through this breakup, we just somehow had the idea that neither of us would date anybody for 1 year. Just not date anyone for a single year, 365 days. We could fuck whoever we wanted, like, go out and about, but we just wouldn't date. And I went into this pact with him. It was mostly for him, but I went in on it with him too. And I took dating off of my radar because I entered this pact. And within 2 or 3 months, I was over it. Mm. I was completely over it. I just decided I'm 25. I'm not going to date for a year. I'm going to have a blast. And it worked. And then when I finally found this guy that I wanted to be with, a little of my old tendency stayed, but I also just was like, I had my horse blinders on and I was like, all right, if it works out, it works. Otherwise, I'm just going to fuck you and keep going. And then we ended up dating, like, 6 months later, like, officially. Mm. But yeah, if you make a pact with yourself, just like, I'm in my 20s, I'm not going to date for a year. Mm-hmm. I think you can, if you're anything like me, crazy, you can kind of break that spell, I think.
Yeah, I find that, I think I have that pattern too, now that you mention it, is like, even in periods where I was single for 3 years or something in between, like, I was crushing on someone or kind of pining for something, and I never really just had complete mental clarity.
Yeah, you should, I'm serious, you should try
maybe
that.
It's been so fun to just date around, though, but maybe I should, like,
just say, I'm not going
to
date.
Get to a point,
I'm not going to fuck.
You could just not be, well, I mean, if I keep fucking guys though, I'm gonna, like, wind up getting attached. So I think maybe I should, even if I don't do it for a year, but maybe if I try, like, 3 months or 6 months without, just to see if I can reach that level of, like, complete mental clarity, because it's definitely, like, I'll still have a crush on someone that I fucked, you know, 4 months ago, and they're still occupying a little bit of space. So it's almost like I'm still not completely alone. And I think that's the thing that I really want to get to, is where there's no one occupying my brain before I get into my next relationship.
Yeah. I think when you kind of use that little method, which I accidentally stumbled upon, it just takes it off your radar. It doesn't make it a factor, because when you have that on your radar, you ask yourself mentally,
what are we with every single guy?
Or
that
you have
seeing.
Like hope of you, that this is going to lead somewhere. So it's like the crutch that gets you through being single for a few months.
It's like your environment comes back to you and it's like, but Jess, you have to be something. You're not just fuck buddies. Like, fuck that. Create your own reality and decide I'm not dating. So I don't know what they are. I don't care, but they're not my boyfriend and they're not my husband. And it just, it created, I almost completely forgot about that. But I think it honestly changed my life.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that.
Give it a shot. And then Jess will have to report back to us in a few months when find out, did it work? But yeah, that about wraps up the episode for this week, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Make sure you rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And also, don't forget, you friends need a little advice.
Share this.
Throw it on. Tell your boy you need to clean your apartment and you need to listen to these bitches.
Also, come back on Thursdays.
Come back on Thursdays and Fridays.
To the channel every day and refresh
just
the
come
page.
Check at least twice a week. Time. Come back and check because we're having more than once a week content now.
Yes.
So
yes,
come
it is
check.
A fact of a
Chickity
thing that
check
is happening.
It out before you wreck it out.
Before you wreck it out. Before you do. And also, let us know too. We want your feedback. What do you enjoy hearing about? Do you like sex topics? Do you like a little more self-evaluation? Let us know what your favorite episodes are to date, because I think we're coming up on that time. Whether it's Big Mood or Hey Bitch, let us know. But we'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
On Thursday.